We're going to be talking about how to transform your thinking. Now, I want to say this to you. When the Lord blessed me to get back on Thursday night, I want to start a series of teaching. And all parents, all to be parents, you want to catch this session, because I want to teach you a little bit about what the Bible says about training your children. I'll do that session only on Thursday. Only on Thursday night. Won't do it on Sunday. Only on Thursday. So what you want to be, you might have to make a little sacrifice. Come out here on Thursday night and hear that. Shouldn't be a sacrifice, but to some of you it may be. Amen? So you need to come and hear what I'm talking about so you can get some insight as to how to raise your kids in the godly way, godly fashion. All right? Got that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I want three people. I want you to come share with us. What's the hardest thing perhaps you've ever had to do? If you can think about that. The hardest thing that you've ever had to do. I got to move. All right. Okay. Here we go.
Going to church on Sunday.
And tell us why.
Because all my life I was taught that Sunday.
Amen. Now, what I'm about to tell you, all of the things that they said about the hardest thing they ever had to do, what I'm about to talk about is 10 times harder. But it can be done. Amen. To change your thinking is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. I feel you miss me. So I'm going to repeat it. To change your thinking is one of the hardest things that you'll ever have to do. Amen. It's not easy to change your thinking. Hallelujah. It's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. Change how you think. Now, that lady said the hardest thing she ever had to do was to tell her children that their father had passed. That's hard, isn't it? That's real hard. Well, to change your thinking is 10 times as hard. It's hard to do. Now, what this guy said, he had to walk in love towards somebody who shot him. That was hard, huh? Well, changing your thinking is 10 times harder. Amen. The hardest thing you ever had to do was go to church on Sunday. That was hard, being raised a seven-day Adventist. Right. That was real hard. But changing your thinking is 10 times harder. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. Hallelujah. As becoming a Christian, you'll have to change the way you think. Now, what makes it even harder for us is the fact that we feel it isn't necessary. We feel it's not necessary. Now, I'm going to explain that to you in a moment. See. But now, in most cases, you with me? You follow me? You're not aware of that feeling. You see. You can feel like it's not necessary and not have any consciousness of the fact that you feel that way. Until someone brings it to your attention. Amen. So I can feel like it's not necessary unconsciously. I can feel like that. You see. Now, if you feel like that unconsciously, then you're not aware of it. Now, keep living life and you'll find that there are a lot of things that you believe, but you're not conscious of it until it's brought up or somebody bring it to your attention. And that's real. Amen. That happens all the time. Now listen, I believe that's what happens to us as believers. We feel like changing our thinking is not necessary, but we have no consciousness of the fact that we feel that way. Amen. So, you see, that's why you have to really come to this place and come to this place to hear, to seriously hear. Because you'll find out some things about yourself that you don't even know. You'll discover some feelings you have that you're not even conscious of. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to hear me real good here. Here's something we need to understand. Now pay close attention right here. What you don't say in words sometimes can be clearly seen in your attitude. Amen. Now you can sit there, you know, and you can think, well, I don't feel like not necessary for me to change my thinking. But what if I told you your attitude displayed that? Could you believe me? I mean, could you actually believe me? If I said, okay, you said, I feel like it's necessary for my thinking to change. But now listen real good. But what if I told you your attitude displayed something different? Could you believe me? I figured that, well, that's a few of you. And that's probably right. Amen. Now, another reason you need people in your life that you can trust. Trust to tell you the truth. Amen. Now, the truth can hurt, but it also can heal. See, the truth can hurt, but it also can heal. Amen. Hurt me to heal me. Amen. So you're fine, you see. It's not too bad to get hurt by the truth. Now, if anything else hurts you, could be bad. But being hurt by the truth is not a bad thing. And that's what God gathered you in this place for each week, to get you the truth. Sometimes it's easy to embrace. Then at other times, it's not. But nevertheless, it brings healing, if I will embrace it. It brings deliverance, healing, soundness, if I will embrace it. Amen. Can you agree with that? Now, let me see where I'm at with that. I'll make sure. Now, I want to make the statement I just made, and then we'll go into something else. Let me make that statement again. Now, I want you to listen good at what I'm talking about this morning, because you'll find that you'll learn something here. And if you learn something, I'm telling you, you can win. Win in the most difficult times. Win in the hard times. Amen. Because that's when you need to win. Amen. When things get what? You need to win. Amen. So let's make that statement again. Let me make it again. Amen. What you don't say in words sometimes can be clearly seen in your attitude. So your attitude does talk, doesn't it? Your attitude talks just as well as your mouth does. So what you won't say in words can be said with your attitude. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see. Sometimes your attitude can say that it's not necessary for me to change my thinking. See, your attitude can say that. You didn't say it in word, you said it in attitude, with your attitude. So we can carry the attitude that changing my thinking is not necessary, and many do. Now, I'm not saying you, but many do. Amen. But there is a high percentage of believers that have no consciousness of it. Now, God wants us to come into consciousness of the fact that we have need to change the way we think. Now, here's what I found, and as I was looking into this, now you go study it. You guys who study the Bible, you go study this. The Bible says the sins of the fathers will visit us from four generations. Okay. Now, when you look at the overall perspective of things, according to Galatians, we've been delivered from the curse. Set free from the curse. Right? So, you would think that you wouldn't have any problems with generational curses because we've been delivered from them. Right? But now when I look at this thing and I look at when we are born again, what's born again? Our spirits. Not our minds. Not even our bodies are saved. Only our spirits are. And then when Paul gets in, and we're going to look at it in a moment. Then Paul comes along and he writes to the church and he tells the church, now look, guys, you need to renew your minds, right? So if we have to renew our minds, then they weren't affected by our salvation. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. So, If that's the case, then I'm still battling four generations of thinking. I'm trying to break free of four generations of thinking. Now, I don't know if you can see a little bit clearer as to what I'm talking about. You see, so your thinking, to change my thinking is necessary. If I'm going to live in this new life that I have in Christ. So it's very necessary. Now I'm going to show you some things in a moment here that's going to confirm what I'm talking about to you. Amen. My daddy got his thinking, some of his thinking, no doubt, from his daddy. And from his mama's daddy. Then they got it from somewhere, and they got it from somewhere. And now I can have it. Have anybody ever told you, you're just like your daddy? Nobody never told you that? Anybody ever told you like your daddy?
Like my mom.
Well, still generation of bad thinking. Huh? Yeah. But you see, what you don't see, here's some of the things that we don't realize until somebody tells it to us. We are battling four generations of thinking. Four generations of it. So to change your thinking, brethren, is more than a notion. Most of your problems arise from your thinking. Even after you have a new life in Christ. I don't believe we sense the urgency that Paul spoke with when he told the believers that their minds must be renewed. Amen. Now, I'm not going to stand here and act like I'm free and clear, because I'm not. I have to work this process every day of my life to stay free from the entangling bondage of sin and all those other things. I'm serious. My father's thinking, I'm talking about my natural father, tries to invade my life on many occasions. But when you know better, you can do better. When you know better, you can do better. And that's what you come in here for each week. You come in here to learn. You come in here to know. And if you know better, you can do better. If you know better, brethren, you can do better. But if you don't know better, it's not even possible to attempt to do better. Are you listening? All right, let's go to the book of Romans. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Now, I want to read this here from the Amplified Translation today, if you don't mind. I don't know why I picked the Amplified with all these words in it. He said, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive decision of your bodies. Now you're talking about your bodies now. We don't talk about that if we have time. presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Now drop into verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewing of your mind, by its new ideas and new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. Whoa. That's a lot of stuff there. Amen. Now, there's some things I wanted to point out here to you that perhaps you've seen before, and maybe you haven't. But now I want you to look at this. The first thing we need to see here is that it is more to having a relationship with the Father God than just getting saved. Now, I want to say that to you. Now, here's what I want you to see. Some people stop at getting saved. They don't go no farther. That's enough. I mean, that's, you know, now, in their attitude, that's how it seems like they feel. Being saved is enough. See, some people, that's where they stop right there, being saved. Now, being saved gets you to heaven, but it doesn't automatically cause you to walk in the blessing. Are you listening? Now, I'm going to ask you a question, but you don't have to answer me. You can stare me down. I don't care. But I have to ask you the question. You've gotten saved. But that's where you stopped. Is that as far as you've gone? If you have, you've missed it by a country mile. See, it's more to salvation. It's more to being saved than just being saved. Now, if you're satisfied with that, I'm sure God won't bother you. But you shouldn't be satisfied with just being saved. God has a will for your life even after you're saved. God has a purpose for your life even after you're saved. God has a destiny for your life even after you are saved. Now, here's another question. Are you concerned about that? See, are you concerned about that? It's not going to bother God if you're not concerned about it. But if you're concerned about it, he wants you to get with it.
That's right.
If you're not, he ain't going to bother you about it. He's not going to bother you. If you're not concerned about it, he's not going to bother you about it. He's not. If you just want to come to church every now and then, or go to church every now and then, whatever you do with it, and that becomes a sum total of your life in Christ, that's not good. But God's not going to fight you on it. God doesn't fight us on anything. He fights for us. He don't fight us. But now I can tell you this. There's a day coming that you're not going to feel good about it. You know, when most people have their regrets, when they're about to pass out of this life into another. And if Jesus don't come, your day gonna come to pass out of this life. All of us. But now, when that day come, what kind of regrets are you gonna have? Because when a man seems to know when he's dying, he seems to look over his life and view it. But it's wise to view your life before you get to that point so you can clear up some stuff that you know you perhaps need to. I want to fulfill the purpose of God for my life. Amen. I don't want to go before God, amen, with a wasted life. And nor do you. I don't want to go before God and my life was wasted. I wasted my entire life. Never endeavoring to find the will and purpose of God for me. Now, if you find it, it's going to interrupt some of your activity now. And see, that's why people don't pursue the will of God, because they don't want their activity interrupted. But I was born for that purpose. See, most of us are doing a whole lot of things that we weren't even born to do. And we in hot pursuit of something that never, ever fitted us. That's why we have, even in the church, 90% of the people that go to church are unsatisfied people. They find no satisfaction. Remember the old song? I can't get no satisfaction. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I can't get me no. Well, I know why you can't get you now. The opposite sex may be good for your life. A woman may be good for you. A man may be good for you, but they're not going to be fulfilling to you. Some things are good, but they're not fulfilling. They weren't designed to fulfill. So don't let a man keep you from your destiny in Christ. Don't let a woman keep you from your destiny in Christ. That's where your fulfillment is. Amen. You know, at the ripe young age of 63, I'm not about to let nothing hang me up. I'm not putting my confidence in anything here. All my confidence is there. Huh? When God says, time up, Adam, I don't want to be done worship something here. I want all my worship to be there. Amen. I love cars, all types of cars. I love them. But they're not going to be big enough to stop my worship. Amen. love to have some money in my pocket all the time. But I'm not going to worship it and miss what I have there. Do y'all understand? Amen. I heard the old preacher say this here. He said, whatever you do for Christ will last. What you do for yourself don't last anyway. You ever notice? The more you do for you, the more you want to do. And the more you feel you have to. Oh, man. I want satisfaction. Okay, so let's get to some nitty-gritty stuff here. Amen. The day you stop pleasing yourself and please God, it's a new day. Now, let's look at this thing. Now, the first thing we need to see here, I told you that, is that it is more to having a relationship with the Father than just getting saved. If you are not careful, you will stop and just stop at just getting saved. Now, here's something else. Here's something else we need to see. There is not an automatic There is not an automatic disconnection from the old lifestyle. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying. See, there's not an automatic disconnection from your old lifestyle. Amen. That you live before you receive Christ. Now, I'm going to say that a few times because I want you to get it, all right? Just want you to get it. There is not an automatic disconnection from your old lifestyle. See? Now watch this here. Let's go to verse 2. You in verse 2? Now watch what he says here in verse 2. Let's go to the King James. Well, we could have stayed there, but I just want to show you this point. Now watch this here. Are you paying attention? Now watch. He says, and be not conformed to this world. Wait. If he tells me, be not conformed to this world. See? Then there's not an automatic disconnection from it. If there was an automatic disconnection from the world, from this world, then he wouldn't have told me, don't be. See, he told me, don't be. Don't be what? Conform. Don't be conformed. Now, the Amplified amplifies that verse. Let's go back to the Amplified. He says, now watch. Don't be conformed to this world. This what? Age, fashion, after, and adapted to its external superficial customs. Other words, okay, so there's not, I get saved, I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is not an automatic disconnection from the way I lived before I received Christ. Now, did y'all hear me? Did you hear me? See, there's not an automatic disconnection. Even though I'm saved, even though I have Christ in my life, but I'm not automatically disconnected from the old life I lived. Now, what I mean by that, I'm talking about its habits and attitudes. Now, you already know I'm telling you the truth because you still have some of your old habits. You still have some of your old attitudes. Shake your head. You already know you got them. I'm not pulling your leg when I tell you that. You already know you got them old habits. You got some of them old habits. You may not have all of them, but you got some of them. Why? Because there is not an automatic disconnection from them.
If you ask what the Bible said, any man being Christ, he's a new creature.
You got to know that ain't talking about your habits. And your old attitudes, you know that. What is that talking about? That's talking about the inner man. He says, okay, you're a new man inwardly. Your spirit is new. And everything about your spirit is new. But there's nothing new about your mind. Nothing new about your body. It's the same sinful mind and the same sinful body. Now, I have to do something with my mind and my body. Now, I have to do something, and one of the things I have to do is bring it in agreement with my spirit. My spirit carries the will of God all the time, in every situation, under every circumstance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My spirit carries the will of God. But I don't know it because I don't walk after it. And Paul told us, he said, walk after the Spirit. And we think, what are you talking about? Walk after the Spirit. And I'll explain that to you one day. Are you still with me? Amen. What we have here is the fact that our old habits and attitudes have held on to us through our thinking. See, your old habits and attitudes, they hold on to you after you become a new man in Christ through your thinking. They hold on to you. Come here, Doc. Put your book down. Your old attitudes come turn this way. And habits, right? They hold on to you. Put my mic down for a bit.
See, they hold on to you. Go down the wall now. See? See it? They just hold on to it. Now, why are they holding on? For control. They're against the will of God, just like the devil is. They hold on to me. But now, how do they hold on to me? Through my thinking. That's how they hold on to me, through my thinking. Now, the only way I can be free of them is to change my thinking. If I don't change my thinking, I can't get free of them. See? I tussle with them, but I can't get free of them. See, a lot of you guys tussling with some of the things you're doing, but you know you're not getting free from it. Why are you not getting free from it? Because you're not changing your mind about them. Now you have the heart conviction that they're wrong, but you still haven't changed your mind about them. If you don't change your mind about them, you can't get free from them.
Thank you, Doc. You look good, Doc. See, you can't get free from them until you change your mind. So I display the same attitude I displayed before I was saved. I have the same habits that I had before I got saved. See, you don't get free from them just because you want to. And I know in your heart you want to. But guess what? You don't just get free from them because you want to. You get free from them because you change your mind about them. And the only way to change your mind about those old attitudes and habits is to renew your mind. Everything that's still hanging around in my life that's not supposed to be there is because I haven't renewed my mind in that area. Now let's go back to Romans 12:2. Let's go back to Romans 12:2. Watch this here. I want to read it from the King James. I don't want to read all this. Okay. King James will say the same thing. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, here's what I want you to see. Most people tell me they know the will of God. They don't. See, that the Adam come to you. I know. But now listen, you don't know no will of God because you ain't renewed your mind to the word. See, Pastor, that's quite ugly. I'm telling you, you don't know the will of God until you renew your mind to the word of God. Now, here's what I'm telling you. Now, I received that. Now, here's what he said. Here's what he's saying. I want you to hear what he's saying. See, you don't know the will of God, I want you to understand, until you renew your mind. See, that's what the scripture says. Got it? You don't know the will of God just because I stand up here and teach you for an hour each week. I always tell you this. It's what you take home. If you do homework on what I teach you every week, then you'll know the will of God for sure. Now here's what most people yield to, and they say it's the will of God. They things they want to do. See, you can want to do something so bad until you'll fix your mouth to say it's the will of God for me. Now, in most cases 90% of the time, I know you missed it. But don't make no sense for me to argue with you. Because that's what I'm going to have if I tell you it's not. In most cases, you see. Because here's what I'm saying. Most people have never learned to be teachable. You say, now, is it the will of God for you to do that? Let's just say, can I give an example? Let's just say marriage. Ethel come to me and she said, Pastor, I believe it's the will of God for me to marry Gino. Calm down. I know you're not going to marry Gino. I'm just saying an example. Calm down. Now I know and she knows that it's not the will of God for her to marry Gino. She know that. But if she want to do it bad enough, she make it God's will for her to marry Gino. Now here's the will of God. Here's the will of God. Knowing the will of God. God has a word for every one of his, all his will for your life. Because God's word is his will. And then there's a witness. Now, I told these guys this Thursday night, if I'm really your pastor and called to be a pastor, then I pastor supernaturally. So there are things I know supernaturally. You don't even have to tell me. I already know. But in most cases, you don't trust the fact that I pastor supernaturally. You don't know nothing about that. So there are certain things I know about you by witness and by word. You see, the word, if I'm in the word, I know the character of God too. Some things are totally out of character for God to do. God wouldn't do that. Say, well, God told me to kill him. God told me to kill him. Now, you know God wouldn't tell you to kill nobody. You already know that. You say, but God told me. How many people done killed people in the name of God? Plenty. God told me that his wife is my wife. See, when a guy come up to you and tell you, God told me that you my wife, run, 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 run. God wouldn't tell him something and didn't tell you nothing. And he trying to hook you up with him forever? And he ain't told you nothing about it? Come on. And see, you'll be surprised of all the people falling into that mess. See, we know the character of God. I know things about God. So I know God couldn't have told you that. I know he couldn't have told you that. And if you get to know God, you know God wouldn't tell you nothing like that. He my wife. You are. I can't say what you are. Now, God done told y'all a lot of y'all that somebody y'all wife, but not today y'all crying. Moving right along. See, here's what I'm telling you. You need growth and spiritual development for discernment. You don't just pop up and get that kind of stuff working in you. Don't let nobody fool you. That stuff don't just start working in nobody. It takes a relationship, and it takes fellowship inside of that relationship to develop, to understand, and to have knowledge and to discern. You don't do that overnight. And all of the people that act like they can do that, some of them crazy. Amen. Man, tell me some of your encounters with God. Then I'll know if you're telling me something. I need to move on because y'all are right. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs, how much time I got? Proverbs 23:7, King James. Amen. Now watch this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now I just want to deal with that part. Man. As he thinketh, where?
In his heart.
So is he. Now, What is this verse actually saying? The verse is actually saying we are what we think. We are what we think. We are what we think. Now, and we also live the way we think. You can't get around that. If you want to know how you think, look at how you live. You want to find out if your thinking is right? Look at how you live. Do you have right living? Right thinking produce right living. Wrong thinking produces what? We are what we think. So how you think will be the key to how you will live your life and how you will deal. Now watch this now. Deal with relationships. That includes your relationship with the Father God. You deal with all relationships, even your relationship with God, as to how you think. All right. Let's go back to Romans 12, 2. Now, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See why I like this translation? I just run through it. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see that? Now, I want to show you something. I want to show you what that verse is simply implying. It's implying something that's very powerful. It's implying something very powerful. If your thinking, this is what it implies, if your thinking doesn't change, you keep your habits and attitudes, even as a new person in Christ. Say with me, say, if my thinking doesn't change, I will keep my habits, all my old habits, and my old attitudes, if my thinking doesn't change. Now, like I said, in your spirit, you've become new. But in your thinking, you're the same old man. Now, I like what Joyce Meyer said. She says, whoever controls the mind controls the man. If you still got the same old thinking, you still have the same old habits. You still have the same old habits. You still have the same old attitudes. Now, you won't be able to change your thinking overnight, but you need to start working on them. Can you agree with that? Amen. Now, how do I do it? It's not easy, but it can be done. Well, you need help. Okay. I'm almost finished here. Consciousness. Of the fact that I need to change my thinking becomes the key to changing how I think. Consciousness. You see, consciousness of the fact that it's necessary for me to change my thinking becomes the key to changing it. Amen. Now, a little bit of the process. I'm going to give you a little bit, just a small portion. Of the process. Now, how do I start to change the way I think? Now remember, it's going to be hard. But if you attempt to do it, God will give you help. Help by way of the Holy Spirit. God will give you help by way of the Holy Spirit. Got it? Now, the process starts with discipline. The process starts with discipline. The word discipline comes from the word disciple. The word disciple means follower. Say, Pastor, that was, say, Pastor. Say, Pastor. I just fell off the boat right there. You know why? Most of us can't follow. Most of us can't follow. Now listen. Discipline starts with what? Following. How many of you are disciplined in your cooking? You are? That's one man. Anybody else? Two. Anybody else? Are you disciplined in your cooking? See, I don't even know what you're talking about, disciplined in my cooking. Now, you can't be that dumb. Discipline in your cooking means you follow the instructions. I know. That's why y'all got all kind of mess. That's why y'all invented gumbo. Can't find gumbo nowhere else but Louisiana. That's an invention of the Louisianians. Huh? Just drawing stuff together. Huh? That's why we got the highest cases of diabetes. High blood pressure. We lead the nation. We put pepper in everything. Everything has to be spicy. But now here's what I'm talking about. To be a disciple means to be a follower. What can you follow? Now, a disciple of Christ is a follower of Christ. A disciple of Christ is a follower of Christ. Now, to follow Christ, one must be disciplined. You see. Now, in most cases, now, in my era, we were made to follow. It didn't mean we were followers. Because as soon as we thought we was free, we followed nothing but what we desired to do. Most people, you see, they can't follow. They can't discipline themselves to do certain things. Now, I've been talking to you about meditation ever since you've been in here. And some of you haven't taken one attempt to meditate anything. Except what somebody did you. See, we meditate what people do to us. We constantly think on it. We constantly talk about it. That's all that is. That's meditation. See, discipline comes from the word disciple. Disciple means follower. Can you follow anything? Can you follow anything? See, we're not used to following anything. Now, I told you I'm going to be on this kid thing on Thursday. I want to show you something. Your kids don't follow nothing. Why? Because listen to what the Bible says about children. It says foolishness is bound in a child. A child don't do wrong. It's in his nature to do wrong. But he needs correction. But you love him too much. You love her too much to correct her. Oh, I'll correct her. Sometimes you got to let them know you mean in business. Oh, no, Pastor. That's my baby. Now, your baby gonna make you shame. See, to love a child is to correct the child. Now, here's what I want you to see. Most people don't know how to follow. They don't. Follow what? Instructions. They don't know how to. And then when they get in Christ, they still don't know how to. They can't follow anything. Because if you try to get them to follow something like instructions or something like that, and 80% of the time, giving them instructions to do a certain thing offends them. Don't tell them, I need you to do that like that. Don't do that. Huh? You have a ha moment. Huh? You shocked now because everybody let you do what you want. But I don't want it like that. Well, I think it look good. I asked you that. See, they don't follow. They can't follow. Now, Lord Jesus. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. I want to show you how to work the process. I want to show you how to work the process. See, I told you it's hard. Everything about this thing of changing your thinking is hard. I can't kid you. It's hard. But it's worth it. You had to ever do anything that was hard? And it was worth it? Anybody listening to me? Now, here's another thing. Here's another thing. How many of y'all want to lose some pounds? Lose some pounds. 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 Okay. Everybody want to lose some pounds. But you can't lose pounds without discipline. You can't lose pounds without discipline. You can't set aside every weight and sin that's so easily to beset you without discipline. Discipline is a key to a successful life. Now watch this. When I first married Ava, many years ago, that's my old song. My old ending song. They found the old ending song. Who was that? Kendrick, you did that, son? Boy, you all right. I'm going to have to stop, but I'm going to have to stop. But I married her years ago, see? And you know, I went from job to job. She never told me nothing about it with her words, but her attitude spoke loud. She had a bad attitude about me moving from job to job. Rightly so, huh? Mm-hmm. But you know why I was moving from job to job? Couldn't follow. Tell me something. What? Throwing stuff down? And said, take this job, shove it. Quit. Went to the next job. Don't put that hose there, put it over there. What? You can't hear good? No. Guess where I was? Out the yard again. Now, about the fourth time, I won't go home. You know, sometimes you get fired, you don't want to go home. You got too much to talk about. You did what? Then they say, again? Then they start throwing the pots. Because the woman actually thinking, now, we're not going to get nowhere in life. You can't even hold a job, Jake. You see? But why I couldn't hold a job? Here's the thing. Why I couldn't hold it? I couldn't follow. You see? But it's a part of the process. It's a big part of the process. Learning how to follow. And to follow anything or anybody, one has to discipline himself to do that. If you can't discipline yourself, you can't follow. Amen. Now, here's another thing. I got to go. See, I really got to go. But husbands like wives to follow them. But they don't follow nothing. So it makes the woman hard to follow you. I'm supposed to example that. That's what makes her submit to my authority. The fact that she can see I can do something and do it right. And on top of that, accomplish something. Then that woman said, praise the Lord, my baby. But you keep goofing up. Amen. You said, I'm going to take care of the bills. No bill get paid. I said, girl, the light's off. I mean, you know, the girl said, what? The light's off, Jake. Oh, I forgot. Well, give me the money, I'll go do it. I don't have that either. Then you want this woman to follow you. Where's she going to follow you at? In the ditch? And then when we got kids, 2-9-1, I can't do it. Can't do it, Jake. Can't do it. Amen. You don't need no counsel. Don't come here talking about no counsel. You don't need no counsel. You already know the problem. Keep your job. Sometimes there ain't no peace in the house because you don't keep the job.
That's right.
It ain't that the woman don't love you. Don't mean you don't love the woman. You just can't keep a job. When you can't keep a job, nobody won't stay with you. I mean, you got to ask your mama for stuff. You got to ask your daddy for stuff. Amen. And then, and your mama, them, you know, they're going to give you stuff, but they're going to talk about you too. That. The first thing I, girl, what have you done?